start that over. I pulled the Surge author guidelines and realized that we weren't supposed to have sentences or a blank space in between paragraphs within the same subsections. So I just went through the document, got rid of all of those spaces, and started to play with table spacing a little bit. Now, I know we're still making a few changes to the text, but I'm hoping the table spacing will remain relatively consistent. So making sure that, you know, a table is not broken up across page boundaries, that it's as close as I can get it to its first possible reference without leaving awkward space. So if you like, I can send you that, or we can just talk about the text, like the changes I made to the actual text, which is probably more important.
We can want to talk about those, and then if you just want to make edits as we go, so you're doing all the edits in one document.
That sounds like a great idea. So we just work our way down?
Yeah, I think that sounds good.
All right.
Okay.
So some of the changes I just made were to Word, like simple words, trying to clean up some things. And I did try and use track changes so that it would be easy to go through. Lee, your comment about I don't know if we need all this form or detail, I agreed with you and just went through and started to remove that and just said, you know, see this, see that.
Yeah, I
think you're right. It makes it a little bit cleaner, and I think that's more common. So that comment was starting in section 3.1, and you can see from there I start to make some changes.
Okay.
Any questions on the changes in 3.1? Including there's a subsection on the research instrument where I felt the last sentence was a little too choppy. So I tried to rearrange the last sentence, and then that necessitated kind of restating the bullets a little bit.
I'm sorry, last sentence was too choppy in...
Section is page 6.
Okay.
Subsection, the research instrument.
Oh, okay.
The last sentence, well, it's technically not the last sentence, but you see where the bulleted lists are, 1, 2, 3, 4. The last sentence right
there. Where you made all the edits. Okay.
Yeah. I just felt like the way it was a little bit too choppy, so I tried to make it flow better. All right, so questions, comments, or concerns about edits from section 3.1?
Nope.
No, actually, I think this looks good. Is there a reason why, is that how it's supposed to be? There's no space between the paragraph and then the list, but then there is a space between the list and the next paragraph?
No, actually, there should be no spaces, I think, at all.
Okay.
And so in the formatted version, it's no spacing at all. So the space between bullet number 4 and the paragraph that starts there were times,
okay,
that space is deleted.
Okay, so you're on it. All right.
Yeah, the start of a new paragraph is indicated solely by the indent, which I'm assuming Tara sent the indent, set the indent to what we needed, but I don't know. It just doesn't look big enough, in my opinion, to signify the start of a new paragraph. I prefer spaces.
I'm having flashbacks to my dissertation. This isn't good.
I know, all of this nitpicky stuff at the end, which, I mean, my opinion is that we are close enough now that they're not going to reject us for formatting issues. They will tell us to correct them. I think we've done a very good job, so I'm not terribly concerned about it. I did go through the spacing. The line spacing was a big one that I saw, so I went through and corrected that. And we're certainly close enough now that they're not going to kick us out for formatting.
All right.
So then there's the data collection section, no changes to that. Data coding, I guess the biggest instrument, the biggest thing we need to talk about is Lee's comments. which came up later. They came up around the tables that present the results of the code, where you felt it was a lot of information, and that people had to refer back and forth to what the different codes represented and so on.
Yeah.
So I'm skipping ahead, but it is relevant to table two, so I'll come back to that. I have two schools of thought on that. One is we can just say, you know what, those are our raw results, and we summarize them as best we could with the percentages, and we're going to leave them out there for the field to interpret as they like, and then we did some of our own interpretation. So in that sense, we could just say it's okay for this type of paper. The other thing we could do is say, well, since it is a lot of referencing back and forth, is we could put it in an appendix, which I think then would also warrant pulling the actual codes into an appendix as well. So that's why I'm bringing it up here with table two in the coding scheme. Do we just want to put the coding scheme, instead of having it be an inline table in the paper, do we make it another appendix, and then do we also pull out the other table? I guess we'll start with table two. Do we want to make that an appendix?
See, I actually do like having the codes there because it gives – this is not an overwhelming table, and it gives our readers an idea of how we were thinking about our data as we were coding. I just – by the end, with all of the percentages and all of the results and how much we had it broken down, and I guess given I was, you know, you guys did a lot of the data analysis, so I was kind of the outside person reading through it, it was just a little overwhelming in trying to process all of it. That was just kind of my initial... I was just trying to read it as a reader, you know, not as somebody who's been sitting looking at the data for a couple of years now. But so I'm not really sure that helps any. But I actually really do like having the codes in the paper somewhere.
Yeah.
Personally, I think that actually does nicely. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying, I think that nicely gives the reader an idea of how we looked at this data, because this is some pretty complicated data, and, you know, how did we separate out what was contextual and not contextual, and you know, I think if you look at, like, Watson's paper, they gave their, you know, a very nice summary table of their solo hierarchy right in the paper.
Okay. Jackie, are you okay with leaving it in then?
For that table, I liked it there.
Okay. All right, so we will leave table two. We'll come back to those other tables a little later. I had a few ideas on them, but we'll do that when we get to that point.
Okay.
All right, so I think any questions or comments on section 3.3 then? The changes I made there were relatively minor.
Yep, good.
Okay. All right, so the next big thing, which... Section 3.4, the expected results, Tara had a comment on the paragraph, which I don't know if you guys have had a chance to read both her comment and then my response. Have you or not?
Not yet, but I'm reading it right now. I think this actually
is... I think, Jackie, you had responded about the tense issue, but... I'm concerned more about she was concerned about the flow and what we were really trying to say. So that's what I'm thinking about now.
I remember kind of agreeing with what you're just kind of saying, is that we didn't really distinguish between them.
Right. And what it is, so what it is supposed to be, the way I tried to write it was strong evidence, weak evidence, how we were going to interpret. Because this is when I was realizing that it wasn't as clear cut as we had initially thought, and that there were more subtleties to it, and that for me, the biggest thing was that confirmation bias or belief bias could also express themselves through statistical arguments, which I felt kind of silly when I realized that, because that's what Kaplan actually found in her paper. She found that when the students had the problems with these biases, sometimes they asked statistical questions about them. They asked for more evidence. Were there other studies that replicated this? You know, that sort of thing, where they talked about the experimental design. And in our classification schemes, those probably would have been statistical. And so all of a sudden I was realizing, you know, now what we can't tell, is it because they didn't understand the statistics, or they were trying to use a flawed statistical argument to support their biases. So that's what I'm trying to discuss here. And I didn't really do much to change the paragraph. I made a few small changes, hoping that that would help. But I don't know if that will be enough. The other thing to keep in mind, too, I know, Tara, or Jackie, when you sent me the paper originally to take my turn to work on it, Tara had some comments about the results in the discussion being difficult to follow. And I, like, when you first read them, or if you tried to just skim them. But then when she went through and read carefully, she could make sense of what we're doing. And I think the same thing might be going on in this paragraph, where if you try and skim it, you're not going to get it. But if you sit down and read it carefully, I hope it will make sense.
I think that's a good way of, yeah. Like, I was trying to read it sort of as, you know, a skimmer.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who might pick this paper up and, oh, this is kind of interesting, and try to skim. But, yeah, you really, this is a very detailed paper that you have to read carefully.
Yes. And I think that's perfectly reasonable for a research paper. I mean, there are some incredibly dense research papers out there. So, you know, and I think we didn't make it intentionally obtuse. We weren't trying to make it seem more than it was. I think we did the best we could, but it's just a lot. And so I don't know if we really are going to – I don't think you are going to be able to skim the results section of the paper and just figure out what was going on. I think you are. If you want to read that, you're going to have to sit down. But we should make sure that the discussion section is something a little bit more accessible, and the conclusion kind of gives the take-home punch. I think that's what we should make sure. So I don't know if it's worth taking time right now to discuss this paragraph a little bit more, or kind of leaving it as is. What do you guys think?
Well, I think it's all right the way it is. I mean, it's a detailed, it's a detailed paragraph. It's a detailed, and we've got several of these throughout the paper. They may come back and say, you know, we need this to be a little bit clearer. That may be, I don't know if that's something they'll come back and say to us. We do also have the table right there, which kind of helps a little bit, I think, because sometimes it's hard to sort all this out when it's in a prose format, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
It helps to kind of have information like this in a nice separated table.
Yeah, I think the table here does help a lot, but I don't think it's completely redundant with the paragraph either. Yeah. I think they go well together.
Yeah. So I think it's all right for now. It is still, I think, a little dense, but it makes sense. I don't think it's I don't think we're talking in circles or anything.
Okay. Jackie, do you have any comments or concerns on this?
Not really.
All right. So we'll leave that in there. And I sent the paper to Tara, too, so we'll see what, since she originally had the concerns about it, we'll see what she has to say. All right, and there's more questions about the tents. I think the tents, the way we have them, are okay, and I think within a given section we're consistent. So I think if you write your literature review kind of in past tense, because that's all stuff that happened, and then for the current study you start to write in present tense, I think that's okay. I think where you run into problems is if within the same paragraph you're really bouncing back and forth a lot, which I don't think we really do too much. So I think from the rest of the paper, we're okay to go into present tense, which it seems like Jackie, so I guess I agree with Jackie's comment there. So then going through the results, demographics, opinion survey, figure and everything. There's not really many big changes I made in the results section. So I'm just kind of scrolling through. Right now I've kind of scrolled my way down to page 15, which is a couple pages from where we were just discussing. Does anyone have any questions or comments on the results section?
Well, I mean, I guess I was much more attached to it, so.
I think
it all makes sense to me.
Yeah, I agree completely. Yeah, I think it looks good, but yeah, like I think you and I wrote this. We were the ones that wrote this, so to us it makes sense. Like, yeah, it looks great. Then this actually starts to bring us back down to tables 10, 11, and 12, which are the ones with the codes, which are a little overwhelming.
I knew it was a strange comment. Like, okay, wow, this is a lot to look at.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think it is okay to have you refer back to the codes. You know, if you think about this practically, someone will probably have it printed out, and they'll be able to just flip to that page and probably have the two side by side, you know, the coding table and then these tables, and they'll get it. The one thing I did think it was missing were the sample sizes, which you can get from previous tables. So if you see to table 10, did add sample sizes here. Now, there were a couple things going on. One is I was trying to get all the tables to fit on one page because I didn't want to break them up with text in between them, and I didn't want them going over many pages. Actually, though, once you remove the additional spaces from paragraphs, so in the formatted version, this actually ended up changing quite a bit with the additional formatting, where now it works that table 10 fits on the very bottom of a page by itself, and then on the next page are 11 and 12. So what I might be able to do then, it buys us a little bit of line space. What I might be able to do then is put the sample size, instead of having the sample size next to the percentage on the first row, I can have the sample size as a line all by itself.
And I think it actually needs to be, because as a reader, if I saw the 22% n equals 18, I might think that 22% was 18 people.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I do see what you're saying. And I tried, if you go to the previous page right before the tables, I did try to add a sentence explaining what the n was. I might need to fix that, though. So I put that together sort of quickly last night. So if you have any suggestions on making that part more clear, I am certainly open to that. And I actually use that particular code as an example. So does that Does that make sense, the sentence, the edited
sentence? Sentence does. I would just say, you know, if you're just quick glancing at the actual table with the way it is, I would say, oh, 18 people had MC0.
Yeah. So if I put the 18 above, then, and I can probably even insert it so it straddles across the column with the reasoning code and the percent of responses. Just insert another line and merge the cells over those two. And that way, hopefully, it will make it clear that the sample size goes for that whole cell. And then the next cell down had 15 people in it, and the bottom cell on the right or the left had 65 people in it. But I think it is important to remind people of the sample sizes right in this table.
Yeah.
Does anyone have, so that would be, I guess that would be my quick fix, is just to put the N over the top of the information presented. Does anyone have any better suggestions? So the other idea I had for this table, if we still think it is information overload, is actually to delete all of the percentages less than 15%. Right now, we have all of the percentages or all of the codes for which at least 10% of the students gave them. If we bumped that up to 15, it would remove a lot of lines in some case, but it might make the tables easier to access. The thing I'm concerned about then is we might have to go through and re-edit our discussion, which I don't really want to have to do. And maybe now, I don't know, I don't know if there's another way to try and make the information more accessible. Do you guys have any opinions on that?
I don't know how much, I don't remember talking a lot about the individual codes in the results section or the discussion. Did we?
Where we did talk about them was in part the discussion of the luggage table, where we talk about that response had more, people wrote more, indicated by the fact that they had more M's. In the codes, we talked about how for the luggage response, they were more incorrect, whereas indicated by the fact that they had more P's or like MMs. And we also talked about just kind of the use of context in the neutral cases, the bottom rows of each table, how there wasn't a lot of context in those, indicated by the fact that most of the second codes were zeros. So we talk about it in that sense. We tried to summarize it. And I haven't gone through to look at the tables and see if you would still get the same picture if we deleted the codes with less than 15.
Okay.
So I don't know if we want to kind of try that as an exercise or just say, you know what, we'll leave it as is and see what the reviewers say.
So we could just try leaving it and see if they feel like that's too much information for one table.
I think where it would make, in some sense, the biggest impact is in the luggage table. I think that's the table that has the most codes that are less than 15. And I just kind of picked 15 as the next round number. I mean, we could pick some other number, but I don't know, 12 to me seems somewhat arbitrary. Like 15 seems like a reasonable cutting point, either 10 or 15. All right, so I guess we'll try and leave those for now. Lee, can you think of anything else that could help these? I mean, do you think sample sizes will help? Do you get a better sense of what the percentages represent?
Yeah, no, I like the idea of the sample sizes. The only thought I had was, you know, putting the code table, like repeating the code table, but that's just more noise, like repeating the code table next to all these tables.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Sorry, I had to restart my computer because it decided to crash in the middle of all this. So, each of these tables. Okay, we talk about the tables. Okay, so okay, just a strange sort of suggestion. Because we've got all these tables together, but then we don't really talk about the tables till later.
Right.
Maybe that's where I'm having a little bit of an issue, is that we just kind of like throw all these numbers in there, then we talk about the interview results, and then later, you know, in the discussion, we keep referring back to all these different tables.
I actually agree with you completely, but I think, unfortunately, that's the way these things sort of work. And I actually remember talking to Joan Garfield about this once.
Okay.
I have written a paper with the results and the discussions intertwined, because to me that made more sense. Here's the table. Let's discuss it. And she said, no. She said, she's like, maybe I'm a little old-fashioned in this, but I just like results section, discussion section. And I think,
okay,
for better or for worse, that's still the more common thing to do in the field. I actually agree with you completely. I wish we could just weave them together, but...
So maybe that's my problem when I was reading this, was because, of course, I'm reading it on my computer, so... I didn't have it printed out. I'm like, okay, so we're talking about table 6. Where is table 6 and 7? So then I got to scroll back up. What's table 6 and 7? Then I got to go, you know. And to me, yeah, it just makes more sense when I'm looking at a table of a whole lot of numbers. Okay, where's the explanation of what all this means? And vice versa, you know, if I'm looking at an explanation of a table, it would be nice if the table was somewhere in the general, you know, a mile, within a mile of the actual paragraph that is talking about it. But if that's, you know, it's Joan. Joan says that's how it's done. That's how it's done. So
Joan says that's what we must do.
Yeah, you know.
I think, I don't know if the Surge author guidelines really weighed in on this, but I think that is still kind of the typical way to present things within the field.
All right.
Say it'll change, but.
Yeah.
Well, I'd rather go, you know, I'd rather get this thing published and try to, you know,
change the world of formatting.
Yeah.
when you become an associate editor one day, then
yeah,
you can fight this battle.
Yeah. All right. I think that's where my frustration came in, was just,
yeah, I remember finding that really weird too. It's like, well, why can't we discuss the table now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with you both completely, but I think, unfortunately, you know, it's one of those scientific holdovers.
All right.
This is how I read papers, or this is how everyone else must write them. You know, that sort of deal. So, But we, I mean, we could also, so there's a balance here between just getting the damn thing submitted, which I think we're pretty much ready for, and what we all need to do, and trying to make it marginally better. And I think it's a really good paper so far. And so we could, if we really wanted, email Bob and say, how, because I think Bob is the associate editor, right? Bob DelMont.
Yeah, yeah.
And say, how do you feel about this? Or we can just submit it because it is the way it has happened in the field. I don't, again, I don't think it will get kicked out because of that. You know, like, I don't think they will just outright reject it because of that.
Okay.
So that's kind of up to you guys thinking about how much more time you really want to spend on this.
I got to be honest, I'm kind of the let's get the damn thing submitted school of thought. But
yeah, I think...
No, you know, I'm on that school of thought.
Yeah. I was reading through it. I think it's a really good paper. I think we actually did a good job of that. I mean, I know we were frustrated at various points in this process. I think we did a good job in the end, and it's not perfect, of course not, but I think it's good. I think any changes we make now are going to just be marginal improvements. They're not going to be huge improvements. So I think we really are ready to just go ahead and submit.
All right.
So any other questions, comments, or concerns on tables 10 through 12? All right. So then scrolling through, where's my other paper? Didn't really make much changes beyond that in the rest of the results section. When we got to the discussion section, again, I didn't make too many many changes. I think it looks, it is definitely something you have to read carefully, but I don't think that's unreasonable. I think it looks pretty good overall. So yeah, I mean, the edits from there on out for me are really, really very minor. It's kind of a word here, a word there. I think the only thing that might be worth revisiting with Tara's concern about it maybe being a little bit difficult, about it being difficult to skim. First of all, I don't know if we really need to search for skimmability. I mean, those who really, really, really want to skim will skim the abstract and the conclusion, right?
Yeah.
And I think we're clear. I think our take-home message is this is not a problem. We didn't find evidence of this in the testing environment, but we did in the interview scenario. And I think that is clear in both the abstract and the conclusion, and also the discussion.
Yeah.
So unless someone feels strongly that we should revisit those things.
I mean, I do think the results are going to be something that's harder to read, mainly because we have a lot of different results to be looking at.
Yeah. And again, you know, you can't always shoot for skimmability in a research paper. As long as it... The comment that I saw from Tara was that when she was able to go back and read it more carefully, then yes, she did understand it. That, you know, it would have been a concern if she said, listen, I really sat down and I just couldn't make sense of it and I, you know, helped write it. That would have concerned me. But I think just saying, you know what, you can't really skim the paper, I don't think that's a big deal. And unless I'm misunderstanding what she said, I don't think it's a very big deal. Jackie, the comments that I saw were actually coming through you, the email that you sent to me. So was that your interpretation of what she said also?
Yeah, and that's what I mean. That's why I forwarded it to you, because I didn't really think it was a problem, so I thought I would go ahead and forward her concern to you for you to see if you thought it was a problem as well.
Okay. I think it's all right the way it is. I think we're good.
And heck, I remember reading history paragraphs in high school that I had to read four times to understand. That was a textbook.
Yeah, that, I mean, science is messy sometimes. All right. have been tinkering with the formatting of those tables. I have the sample sizes in them now. I think they actually look pretty good. I'll send the formatted version out after our call here. I went through the formatted version. I accepted all of the changes because track changes will mess up your spacing layout too. Accepted all the changes, deleted all the comments, including the comments where it says we had to blind, because I always have a hard time figuring out where the margins of the paper are when the comment field is in there. But I figure we have an old paper to reference about where all the blinding is, and and we can, you know, just search some things. So the only other decisions I made, there had been some questions about capitalization, and I went ahead and decided to go with lowercase. You know, so instead of having capital L, capital S luggage scenario, they're just all lowercase now. So I don't know if anyone else feels really strongly that it should have been the other way.
Not really.
No. I actually like the lowercase better. I think it looks better.
All right. I think we are good then.
All right, so the main things that we still need to do then are really just checking the format primarily to make sure that it's agreeing with the author guidelines and everything.
Yes.
So were we, I mean, when you send out kind of the version you currently have, Herla, are we still wanting to go ahead and send it to like Randy and Holly Lynn and Felicity and give them like a week, 2 weeks or something to see if they can look through it?
I'm going to leave that up to you. Since I think you have the biggest time pressure on this, I think it is, I guess, a good idea. It would probably be good to have some fresh eyes on the paper, and then they can weigh in on the whole thing about is it readable even if it's challenging. But if you're really feeling like, I just need to get this thing submitted, then we could probably just go ahead and do that as well.
And for me, the only fear of sending it to them is if they come back with major changes.
Yeah. I know. Although I suppose we'd rather them come back with major changes than a reviewer. But I think it's a question of whether or not we think those changes are enough that we would not pass the review process, not even get invited to resubmit.
And so how long do you think, if we do send it out to them, that we should give them? Would you say like 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think a week or two is reasonable.
So would y'all want me to send it to them and then just carbon you guys on it so you know I've sent it?
Sure.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
That way they can see we're still a team.
We're still together. Well, then in that case, I will go through and do a little bit more tinkering with formatting.
Do you by chance have, like, the web address with the author guidelines that you could send in with it, too, so we maybe could all look through it just to make sure?
Yeah. I can send that. I'll just go ahead and email that to you right now. I will reply to our thread about the cluster of fun phone call. Just click send on that. So that should be coming through. I think Sarah had done a really good job I just noticed a few things.
Because that way, I mean, it's always nice for more than one of us to go through those because we might be missing something.
Yeah.
Or do we want to assign certain things for us each to check? Like, this is the one that has the weird only one space between periods and capital letters thing.
Yeah, that I actually did yesterday a find and replace.
Okay.
And I tried to catch some, like, the subheadings. I actually looked, if you look at the author guidelines, I believe they are prepared in format. There's supposed to be two lines, though, that being said, after a section. Sorry, I'm reading real quick. I think it's prepared in format, so I was kind of looking at the format, too, and I noticed that their subsection headings, the ones that are in bold italics in line with the paragraph, I guess that's subsection. Those were sentence case, not all capitals. So I went through and corrected some of ours.
In other words, our paper should look a little bit like these author guidelines.
Yes, I believe so. Which actually on their part is quite brilliant.
All right, so we mainly need to work on format changes, making sure that we're as close to the author guidelines as we can be.
Yeah.
Send it out to our RAB, give them a couple weeks to get any information they would like to get back to us, and then discuss whatever they say.
Yes, exactly. The one thing that we have to be careful about when going through and looking at formatting changes is that we don't all end up making the same changes. What am I trying to say? We don't basically end up working over each other. So we need to make sure
Did we want to break it up again? Would that be easier, you think?
How would... Oh, like do it in parallel?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter to me. I'll find time whenever I need to.
I think it's something we should be able to get done, like, in the next day or two. That way, sorry, I'm noticing there's something off in my spacing on the figure, which is annoying the crap out of me. I think it's something we should try and get done in the next day or two. I guess, we need to hear from Tara and see what Tara has to say, but, I don't want formatting to take us another, like, week or two. We should try and get it done in, say, 3 or 4 days if we can. That being said, so I guess I'll take my look now since I've already been looking through it. And, I even wonder really if we all need to look at it for formatting. I will take my look through now, let you know what I did. ask you if there are any major I'll let you know if there's any other things I'm concerned about, and then I think we could probably just all take a day or two to sort of look at it. And if you notice some changes, I would just say email me about it rather than everyone trying to change them on their own. I think this is one we can kind of work in parallel.
Okay.
Because, I mean, Tara did a really good job formatting it to start. I should be able to catch any last little things. And then it's just a question of you guys kind of looking through it and making sure it looks okay. So that would be my suggestion.
Do I need to worry about waiting until the format pretty is done before we send it to the RAB, or do you think they're going to care?
I would at least send the version. I don't think you need to wait until everybody else approves it. I would wait until Tara approves it, maybe, and then send it to the RAB. So I'll send you within the next, like, 15, 20 minutes, I'll send you a copy that doesn't have all of our comments or anything in it, which will be easier for the RAB to read. And then you can decide if you want, do you think you should send that on to them right away? Or should we let Tara weigh in on it one more time before we send it to the RAB?
Well, we can, when we send it out, just, we can send it to Tara first and say, this is what we've discussed. We're looking at doing this. Are you okay with us sending it on?
Okay, I think that sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, I'll look at through some of the formatting changes and let you know what I find and what I've done in just a few minutes here.
All righty.
Okay.
Sounds good. All right, have a good weekend, everyone.
You too.
You too.
And do we need to set a call for meeting again, or should we just take care of that via email if decide if we need to call or not?
That's exactly what I was just thinking. I don't think we need one right now, but if we find out we need one, hopefully we can put one together if we have to.
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay.
All right. All right. Well, then have a good weekend, and I will talk to you all via email soon.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.